Blog Talk Radio.
'Tis the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His goodness. He is holy. He is high. He is set apart. So we sing to Him.
John 14.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keep.
Amen, amen, amen. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and gentlemen, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you for gathering and coming joining us tonight. We're going to discuss a little bit about the devotion that we've been doing. Elder Mark, good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Good evening, my brother. God bless. How are you?
Doing good. I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing good. All is well. All is well. Well, brother, I'm we can start. You can start us off. I mean, open us up with prayer. We got to talk about. We got a couple brothers on the line, gentlemen. If you want to join the conversation, press 1 on your keypad, and I can see you there. We can bring you into the conversation. We're just gonna keep moving forward. If take this opportunity to discuss the devotion of what we're doing, and encourage other brothers to come. We're not saying we'll send the link out for this discussion, and you can share it with some other brothers, invite them to be part of the devotional and what we're doing, and let them know on Thursday nights we are coming together and discussing it, and just sharing the insights what God has spoken to each of us and prayer and to encourage one another. Elder Mark, go ahead. You got it, sir.
All right. Glory to your name, O God. Father God, we come before you this evening to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord God, to join together, Lord God, to give you praise, to give you honor, Lord God, to stand before you, Lord God, as a collective, Lord God, men joining together, Lord God, as iron sharpens iron, Lord God, to learn more of you and thus of ourselves, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that as we're going through these devotionals, Father, you continue to open our eyes, open our hearts, our minds to receive you and all that you have for us, Lord God, that we will see your blessings in the midst of our situations, Lord God. We will see all that you have for us, Lord God. We will recognize that you are the peace that passes all understanding, oh God. You are the reason, Lord God, that we have made it thus far. You continue to continually carry us through. Even when we don't think you're moving, Lord God, you are doing miracles on our behalf. So we say thank you, God. We thank you for this time, Lord God. We thank you for each and every person that's joined today, Lord God, to share, Lord God. We thank you that as words are shared, Lord God, they will be words that will do not only be good words for the ear, but words that will do some good in transforming us to be greater and stronger men as we consistently desire to grow further and deeper in you. Consider us, Lord God, worthy to receive you, Lord God, and we thank you for all that you do and the abundance that is you and you alone. We thank you for your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy, and your favor, and we continue to praise your holy, magnificent name as we pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, good evening to you all. Good evening to you all. Thank you so much for taking the time to join as we are just taking another opportunity to dive deeper into another one of these awesome, awesome devotionals that we've been going for. Deacon Farr, what's this, about the seventh week now or so, 6 weeks now we've been
going?
Amen,
yeah, yeah. This is, let me check my notebook here. Yeah, we are about 6 weeks. We started with, what was the first one, the roar with, no, wait a minute. Now we started something before that. Yeah, yeah, we're about the 6 week in. I think the first one was Fight Club. So we did Fight Club. We did The Roar Within. We did Killing Kryptonite. We did, let me see. I got more. We did the Uncommon Words. Uncommon Words. And then we did, the Seven Pillars of a Legacy-Minded Man. And that brings us to where we are today, finding peace. So, you know, I personally, it's been good. You know, I've been... It re-anchored me, put it that way, into what the word is saying and who we are to be as men, and me as a husband and a father, and hopefully for all the brothers out there, just to get us back on track, you know, with the churches and not getting together and coming together. But I think this is a good time, and these devotionals are very, very encouraging, just uplifting and encouraging, and continue to press in. So I appreciate being part of it.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. It has definitely been an honor. I appreciate you for taking the time to join with me. I just want to, you know, give honor where honor is due. First off, of course, all honor goes to God. All honor to God. But I want to thank Deacon Farr, especially truly been instrumental in my life and my growth and pulling me out of the ruts that sometimes life just drives us back into. So I thank you, my brother, for standing with me as an accountability partner, a prayer partner, intercessor on my behalf, on my family's behalf. So I appreciate you, and I'm just honored to call you brother and call you friend, that we can continue to dive into these things together. And hopefully as we grow, other men are growing, and we're all just continually get fed, because like you said, this has just been an awesome time to take us deeper into ourselves and seeing so much more of what God has for us. So many times we think we're so far off from understanding, and it just doesn't seem to make sense. But the enemy will try to throw in anything and everything to break up the very plain words that God has for us, that tells us what we need, when we need it, how we need it, and how we should utilize it. So it's definitely a pleasure to get into another one. So this devotional, amen, this devotional, I'm sorry for this. Well, no, I'm not sorry for the sidebar. Things needed to be said, so I give acknowledgement where acknowledgement is needed and appreciation where it is definitely due. This particular devotion, Finding Peace, it starts off, and of course all the devotionals start off with, you know, a few words, a kind of introduction to the day. And this particular devotional, we haven't gotten all the way through it. It is actually 10 days, and we are on day 7. We started back on the 15th. So we're going to jump in at day 1 and just talk about it, you know, as we break it down. We probably won't make it all the way through, but this should give us a starting point for people to join back in and go back. Even if we're completed, gentlemen, please go back and pick up the days and just pick up, because It's little nuggets in here that's going to help you through every day. It's little things in here that will just encourage you, little things in here that can just change your perspective, that can help you to see what God really has for you, because we are blinded by the ways of the world and not walking in the spirit man that's supposed to be leading us. So finding peace. One of the things he starts off talking about, and he was talking to a young lady, and he asked the question, if you could ask God for anything in your life, what would you ask him to do? And she said, without hesitation, she answered, I'd ask for peace. He said that a tear made it down her cheek as she shared with us about her beloved grandmother's death a few days before. And she shared that no one in her family believed in God, and neither did she. She hadn't consciously rejected God, but she didn't know God. And God is the source of our peace, the source of reconciliation, the source of just setting things right, the source that can give us an anchor in the midst of the storm. And if you put that in context, let's just make it simple. I guess, so many times we use words like anchor, and we don't really explain how deep that takes us. Imagine your ship. You are a ship in the middle of the ocean. Now, you've had direction in every which way you need to go. But suddenly, out of nowhere, a storm comes up. The storm comes up and it knocks out all your instruments, everything that tells you how to go, everything that tells you about depth, tells you where land is, tells you even where other boats are. Everything that you need to know drops off. Everything that you've depended on to get you to this point is no longer working. Now, the only thing you have to do is to try to find a way to sit still until you can deal with this storm. To find a way in the midst of the storm to slow everything down so you can get your bearings. What's your only tool? It's the anchor. It's the one thing that can set you straight in the middle of the storm, that can hold you in position until the storm blows off. It's not going to stop you from rocking side to side. It's not going to stop you from being tossed and thrown. It's not going to stop the rough water. But it will hold you in a position where you can at least begin to see the outcome. See where you can move from. You can begin to reach a strategic planning place. That's the same thing with God. In our approach to our spirituality, in approach to our life, things happen, storms come about, and we are tossed to and fro. But the one thing that can hold us in the midst of it and allow us a place to even see that there is safety, there is rest, that we can be reassured that even in the midst of the storm, we'll be held straight, we'll be held in position. That's the anchor. And that's who God is, and that's the peace he provides, that even in the midst of your storm, he can still anchor you. He can still be the source of inner peace in the midst of a turmoil, of a situation full of turmoil. I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to pass it over to you, Deke. And the scripture that ties with today, with day one for the devotional, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm reading it from the NLT, and it says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you." To you, sir.
Amen, amen. You know, brothers, that's what we strive to be. You know, I think back over my life. Even, I'm gonna go with and being in Christ. You know, we have to understand that the knowing that God is in control. I think that's what it really is. When Elder Mark was talking about being anchored, we have to be anchored knowing that God is in control, and get to the point where we know that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what comes, what goes, the situation, circumstances that we go through as men, as husbands and fathers, God's got us. God is in control of it all. Nothing surprises God. I know we hear that, but sometimes we have to believe that God is really sovereign in all that's going on, and that we get a peace knowing that God is going to bring us out. And for some of us in the body of Christ, we have to understand, look the last time God has brought you through something, that you were faithful. You didn't go out and do something out of your flesh, out of your own understanding, thinking you could solve this thing, but you stood still and waited on God. You stood still and seeked God's advice, seek God to give you direction, to give you that guidance. You know, and again, what I always say here is that we have to have people in our lives. We have to be part of a circle of influence of godly people, praying people, who God can use to speak into our lives. When we don't have the answer, God can use others around us. And I think that's the most important thing we have to be as men, the importance of church, being part of a local vision of local church, but also being connected to God through the Holy Spirit, that He's speaking to our lives and guiding and directing us. And I believe once we get to that, in that place of security, because there's nothing like security, you know. When you get to that point, I'll use this as an example. When we get to that point in a time of month when the rent is paid, the car payment's paid, the light bill is paid, all those things are taken care of. So you have confidence now that you're not going to be put out, they're not going to repossess your car, and the lights ain't going out. That's the same kind of confidence that in God, that we know that God's got it. It's taken care of because of who God says He is, because of what God promises that God has made us in His Word. And that confidence is, again, the Holy Spirit gives us a peace, and no matter the circumstance, you know, Elder used the example of on a boat in a storm. You know, the storm is outside the boat. As long as the boat is good, you don't need the storm inside the boat can withstand it, and our lives are the same way. Are we connected and have a peace that God's got these circumstances and situations? Because it's going to come, and it's about how we handle it as Christian men, as believers in Jesus Christ, and the only and true living God. Is going to determine how we handle these crises, because we should handle them better than the unbeliever who has no hope, because we have a hope, and that hope is bringing us peace. What do you say, Elder?
You know, I was just sitting there thinking, and you know, the analogy of an anchor. You think, okay, yeah, a little dinghy might need an anchor out there, but what about the battleship? The baddest thing that's supposed to be out there, the destroyer, the baddest thing out there still needs an anchor to deal with those tossing storms and situations out there in the midst of the sea.
Yes.
Doesn't matter how strong you think you are, how many situations and fights and wars you've been through, you're still going to need the anchor to hold you straight, to hold you tight in some situations. And the problem is, sometimes we grabbing onto the wrong things, and we think we're anchored, and we're actually drawn into a drift, taking us further and farther away from the place that has the most, that has the blessings for us, that has everything for us. You ever thought about having an anchor and it's just being dragged along with the ship? It doesn't grip on anything, doesn't hold on anything. It's there, it's a weight. But instead of actually anchoring, it's just a weight that just slows you down from your progress. It doesn't do anything to keep you safe. It just slows you down from your progress. We got to choose the anchor, choose what we're grounded in. Understand God immovable. God is consistent. Name is above every name. There's nothing stronger. I know for the person that prayed and said God didn't answer my prayers or didn't give me what I needed when I prayed about it. Sitting on the line like, yeah, whatever. I don't know what you mean, because he didn't anchor me in my storm. But we sometimes don't realize is the anchor has to stop our progression from the direction we were going before we hit a situation that we can't sustain, that we can't survive. You ever seen or thought about a ship anchoring because the current's just taking it away too fast? Sometimes our situations are carrying us faster than we thought when we got into that rut, when we got into that mood, we got into that place that everything was going to go smooth. Then we realized it started getting too rough, it started moving too fast, and we tried to throw down something to hold us, but it wasn't a real anchor. And all we did was just get drawn deeper and deeper into this terrible current that's taking us off a cliff or wherever it may be taking us, away from where it's supposed to be. But had we had a real anchor, we would have been held strong with a chance to figure out how to move, to get out of that rut, to get away from that current, to be in the position to receive what we need. Once again, it's all about choosing your anchor, choosing who you'll depend upon. Goes back deep to persona. Talked about that, you know, in our last one, persona. What is your default? Will you lean upon the right anchor? Or are you going to throw your hands up and start trying to paddle in water too deep for you to even see? Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. I agree. I mean, it's... In all what we're saying, the peace of God, sometimes we just have to stand still. Like the song says, we just have to stand. Sometimes in the midst of what's going on, let the peace of God, just let us stand still and let God be God. Because I could see so many things so many times in my life, you know, I just had to stop. Because I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something. And then God told me, don't do nothing. I got it. Wait and see what's going to actually happen. Because sometimes we make a move because we try to anticipate stuff, and sometimes in our own mind we can make it worse than it was. Because that, when we talk about the peace of God being an anchor, you know, the ships drop anchor sometimes just to stay in place.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? I'll leave you.
Amen.
I got that right there, bro. I guess we can move on from there. That's all I got.
All right, let's go to day two.
Amen.
And the scripture, I want to read the scripture. It's John 14 and 17. John 14, 27. I'm sorry, my apologies. Verse 27. John 14, verse 27.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I am leaving you with a gift of peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. That goes into what we were just talking about, gentlemen. Choose your anchor. Are you anchored spiritually in God, or do you follow, or do you default to the ways of the world? Are you going to, what are you leaning upon? The world doesn't have the blessings for you. Some things look good. It's very cliche, but everything that glitters ain't gold. And some of this stuff out here looks great, feels good. But is it really what you need? Is it really going to be what's going to change your life, what's going to for the better? Or is it going to have you wrapped up in what the world says that's who you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to do? We're called to be a peculiar people. But if we're anchored in the world, we're peculiar to the ways of God. So if we're peculiar to the ways of God, we're out of line with God, how can we at all expect to receive the gift of peace, the gift of love, the gift, how can we expect to receive blessings if we're not even connected? How can we ask God to change something in our lives? That's like going to ask somebody, okay, let's just make it simple. I hope I don't go wrong. I hope I don't get in trouble for this one, Pete. You can't go to somebody you don't know and ask them to save you. Ask them and pull out all your heart and say, hey, can you fix this? They're going to look at you like, what? Well, first off, what's your name? Do you even know mine? Think about it. Do you even have a relationship with God where you can ask him? I mean, we're supposed to be able to come to God as children to ask him for anything. But with no relationship, do you even know how to ask him, how to approach God? Like, just in the street, we can be men in the street. You're not going to approach another man on the corner and say, hey, brother, can you give me this, that, and the other, do this, that, and the other, and you don't even know his name? I mean, we have to know who God is. We have to have a relationship. We've got to choose God. We've got to choose God over the ways of the world. The ways of the world are so tempting. They're so much easier than to just to, than to it takes more work to try to live right than it does to just follow the ways of the world. The ways of the world, rewards, are they really rewards or are they curses? These are the things we got to examine and understand. I'm at a place, man, where I've gotten so tired of getting by that I want to do something different, that I want to see something different, and the only thing I know to do different is trust God. Because I tried it my way. I did it my way. I even prayed that I could do it my way, all to find out, had I taken the time to give God praise, to lean and trust him, just like the word says, lean not upon that of your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct your path. Just in that same instance, if I would have taken the time or the hindsight to just say, God, you lead. God, you hold me strong in the midst of this storm. Instead of me trying to figure and fight every which way out of it myself and getting further and further down the path, further and further lost, things could have been a whole lot different for me early on. I thank God for the lessons that I've learned and the life that I've had to live. But if I would have had the choice and the mindset to just trust God, truly trust God, I can't imagine how much different my life would be in my level of peace, not in merit, not what I have for myself, but just my level of peace in the midst of my situations as they come. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. Brothers, if you're on the line and you called in tonight, it's just press one on your keypad if you want to share, get into the conversation, and share your insights or some thoughts that you have. And again, also if you want to, you know, add a prayer request as we continue to go through here, you know, just press one of your keypad, we can bring you in. We have you on the switchboard here, and we can see your acknowledgement. Amen. You know, and what you're saying about that peace and being secure, and the real thing I just want to say that God gives us a peace that no matter what's going on, no matter what we're dealing with, you know, and the peace of God will keep us through. The Holy Spirit living within us, and knowing that God knows, you're known by God, and as men, we are known by God. God knows what we're going through. He knows the challenges. He knows the temptations. He knows the trials, but he also knows that he's made a way for escape. He's made a way for us to go. We just have to choose that path to be able to endure some things. I don't know. I'm not sure if everybody, or you know, what. How you were taught or how you were discipled, but coming to Christ is not an easy thing. It's not going to be easy. It's not everything's not going to go well. Everything's not going to go your way. We're going to be tested and tried in our faith. That way our faith can grow and we get stronger. You know, our faith is just like our muscle. We go to the gym. We want to work out. We go on the treadmill. We want to jog. We want to build up our wind. You know, all of that, it's the same thing in our faith. And these trials and tests and just living this life is going to increase and make our faith stronger. And again, I mean, and having the peace about the circumstances. Because, bro, it is nothing worse than, bro, when we just think about it. I want every man to just think about this. Went through the last circumstance you were in, and either you did or you thought about making one decision, and you didn't, or you did, and it didn't work out. Or you knew you was going to do something, but you chose not to, and then the circumstance worked itself out, and you didn't have to go down a path that you knew was not going to glorify or be obedient to what you knew of God to be, or who God and what God says we are to be. Because this is, again, this is a person. Our walk is personal, and we are accountable to God. So, you know, that's why we have to be in the Word. Know how to understand and study the Word and how to apply the Word to our life as we deal with all these things. And the first thing we're talking about here is the finding peace. We have to be secure that God is on our side. You know, God is on our side. We are his sons. We are children of God. And the only enemy we have is the enemy, Satan, is trying to destroy us. He's seeking to kill and kill and destroy us. Amen? So as long as we stay lined up with God in all that we think and all that we do, we're going to be okay. But then that peace, I mean, we're going to touch on some other things here, but that peace can keep us if we just know that we are loved by God because of what Christ has done. Amen?
Amen.
Back to you, sir.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, sir, I love how these devotionals work because as we discuss, it just, you know, you go into, you look at the next day and it's like, wow, the discussion, the words, even just the words you highlighted go right into the next day. And it talks about the reasons, the things that happen, why we lose our peace. And it gave five different reasons. And as I'm looking at it, I'm just, you know, it's like you can almost think in retrospective times you lost peace, or, you know, when you felt like you were just in the midst of that storm and not knowing where to go. But I'm a go through them, and then we can take some time to break them down if you like, because these might give us a little discussion. I'm hoping some of the men will maybe have a chance to join in and share with us, you know, if there's some situations that they may have come into, because you never know. Sometimes we think we're so different, but sometimes our very situation is something that happened to the man that's on the other end of the phone that could be waiting to hear what helped you, or what, you know, how are you dealing with it, or are you still dealing with it? Sometimes that can even be what can help, to know that someone else is going through the same thing or has been dealing with the same type of issue. But out of those five, the first that are reasons that we lose our peace is sudden fear. And that fear comes from, goes back to what we talked about, persona. You know, so many things happen, and sometimes our response, we're so accustomed to reacting to things out of panic that becomes our default, that we don't realize we have a different level of stability. We have a greater stability within us, a greater strength. But in every instance, because it's the unknown, because it's uncomfortable, because it doesn't fit we were going to see, that sudden fear takes us to a place of unrest and panic, and we lose our peace. Hard to have peace of mind when you're in panic. I mean, think about it. Can you really think through something when you're having a panic attack? Can you really breathe? You can hardly breathe, catch your breath when you're having a panic attack. You can't even do something that your body does on its own, that you don't have to practice. You don't have to train yourself to breathe. When situations are crazy, when panic happens, sometimes you can't even maintain a steady breath because you're that caught up in the situation. But we have a greater stability. We have God to lean upon. So we don't have to worry about those sudden things that happen, those situations that change, because we know that God called us victorious. He named us that. That is a part of our name, victory, victorious, overcomer. The second one was the enemy. Well, not was, is the enemy. We're always attacked. When we're doing bad, we're being attacked. When we're doing good, we're being attacked. The enemy will never stop attacking. The flesh will always be under attack. You will always be tempted. You will always see a situation that you just feel like you can't get by, and the enemy gonna make you think, is going to make you feel like there's no reason to trust, there's nothing that you can believe or hold faith in, that you just might as well doubt because it's not gonna happen. You might as well give up. He may even call the people closest to you to tell you to quit and to lose it, to just go ahead and throw your hands up, because this battle is not gonna work out on your behalf. I mean, story of Job, his wife said, "You crazy, curse God, you need to stop, you need to do something different." Job held his faith, and his reward was what? An abundance to replace his loss. Third one was sin. The situations we walk ourselves into, the situations we choose, sometimes because we're trying to figure out how in the world did I get here, takes us out of our peace, because we walked into something we knew we had no place in. We knew it was not the right thing. Like Deacon Farr said, when we make that decision, are we trusting God or are we going to fall back to the ways of the world? Are we going to fall back to our old default ways? Have we been changed? Are we anchored to stand strong or are we going to go back and just do what feels comfortable in the midst of a situation, knowing it's wrong, knowing it's going to hurt somebody else, knowing it's not what God called for us to do? The fourth one, we just give up on peace. We give up on it because it's like, what am I going to keep fighting for peace in this situation for? It's always an argument with my wife. It's always an issue with my kids. It's always something going on. It's always a problem. So why even look for peace? I'm going to just, you know what, just forget it. Whatever it is, whatever happens, it is what it is. If I fall down in it, I'll worry about it later. Well, we're called, like I said, we're victorious. We don't need to give up on that or think that it's not going to happen. The battle may take a long time. The battle may be hard, but we are victorious. Stand strong in it, my brother. Stand strong in it. And number five, I almost said simply losing focus, but it's nothing simple about it. We lose focus. Bad news, situations coming up, you've been focused on this. You've been focused on doing the right thing, on just, you've been set that, you know, God, I know you have it. God, you got it. God, you, anything I need, God, I know you can do it. And you prayed, let's just say you prayed this morning, God, I need an answer about this job I've been waiting on. Instead of you getting an answer, the answer you want is you get the answer that the job didn't come through, or they're still hiring, but it's going to take a longer time for your process. It's going to take a long time for you to get there, and you lose focus and start concentrating on something else, and the peace of mind that you would have had in that blessing is lost because you no longer even thinking about it because it felt like it wasn't going to. You got sidetracked, like this isn't going to happen for me. God must not have this for me. But the promises of God are the promises of God. We can't lose focus on the promise just because it doesn't fit the timeline that we're looking for. We continue to stay focused. If you lose focus in the midst of your journey just because it's taking you a little longer than the GPS says, you can still get lost in that last few miles before you reach your destination. Can't lose focus. Turn it over to you, sir.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, again, men, we're on the line. If you want to join in and comment or have a question or whatever, a prayer request, just press 1 on your keypad. We can bring you in. We see you here on the switchboard. Just press 1 on your key on your phone pad, and you can bring you into the conversation. You can share. Again, bro, you're right. It's funny, in that devotion you talked about all those things that you touched upon. And these are the things that can rob us of our peace. That's why we have to be careful. You know, again, the enemy. I'm going to focus on what you said about the enemy. Because we are in a spiritual battle. We're continuing in a spiritual battle. Even before we came to Christ and came to church and became Christians and started to believe, there was a battle, but we was on the other side. We were with Satan, so Satan don't have a problem. He's not going to come after his own people. He's going to lie to them, but he's not going to worry about them because he already got them. Because we're living a life, we're making choices, we're living under his authority. We're doing the things he wants us to do. We're doing all those things that are sin, that are disobedient to God. So Satan don't have a problem. But now once we believe, there's a war because now Satan has lost one, and now he wants to kill us. He wants us to we confess Christ and those that who are watching. Now he wants to see us fail, so others can see us fail, so they can believe that God's not real. You know, we have no testimony. We do things and we make mistakes, and folk are watching us, and because of the things that they see us do, some the devil uses that to let people know that God ain't real. Because look at him. Look at him. I remember when he used to. And then he went to church, he got religion, and now he's back. He's doing the same thing he was doing before. and that's us. So that's why it's a war, and that's why we're being tempted. We're going to have trials. We're going to be tested. And it can be little things, bro. It could be little things. It could be little things just cussing somebody, not even using your professional cuss words, just your little cuss words, and people, you know, and that, you know, that'll affect people. You'd be surprised. If people, you know, I learned this, you know, you slip and cuss one time after people believe, after, you know, people know that you're a Christian, they think that's the greatest sin in the world, even though they live their whole lives cussing. But if we slip up and say one word, we must not be saved no more. But anyway, just to understand that, you know, we are it's a spiritual battle. And the other one I just wanted to touch on, too, is that fear. You know, I want to share this with the brothers on the line, and I think my Elder Mark knew about this. But, you know, earlier in the year, back in December of last year, you know, my wife had got COVID. She got sick and got tested, and she actually had COVID, and she ended up going to the hospital. And she was on a ventilator for like 5 days. Let me tell you about fear, because I've known this woman since 1977. We've been married since 1983. And we have children, and we have grandchildren. And, you know, there was a time, and that emotional instability is really what fear is. We have to be able to gird ourselves in the midst and hang on. Because for myself, I had to seek the peace of God. I had to pray. Thank God I had folk around me who prayed for me and with me and was able to, I could lean on. Because that fear of what could have happened or what was I going to do. Because I don't know about you, brothers, but when you've been with a woman like 40 years, I don't even know how to be single. I was scared. No, just kidding. but that fear of getting sick and being on the ventilator, and back then you wasn't allowed in the hospital, no visitors allowed. So she was there, I was outside, I had to gather myself because of children and grandchildren. Their mother and grandmother was in the hospital, and we didn't know what was going to go. But then that fear could have drove me to a place closer to God or away from God. So I say that as a testimony. The things that we go through, don't let fear chase you away from God and God's people. Let fear, even if it comes, or if you're shaking a little bit, reach out to God and have people in your life who you can reach out to, who will pray for you, will encourage you, will uphold you spiritually and physically. And that's the most important thing I could say. That where the body of Christ as a church and being connected with people can really, really help us. Because when fear comes for whatever reason, like for me, it was that initial fear and not knowing what was next, but what was going on. But, you know, God be the glory, you know, she was healed and she came off the ventilator. And, you know, even to this day, she don't remember those 4 or 5 days it was. But we were praying. And I was just, you know, I'm holding it together. But the fear can shake us off, and we have to be able to draw closer to God when fear hits. So I just wanted to share that and encourage the brothers out there, whatever's going on. And the same thing when, you know, with the things we're dealing with, job situations, layoffs, finances, whatever. Don't let the fear move you away from God. Let the fear, when the enemy tries to shake you and move you, gird yourself up and look to God. Look to his word, look for prayer, and be encouraged that, you know, God is, again, that God is in control. So don't let the fear take you out of your place and out of position. Because remember, God, you are a child of God. We are a child of God. And God has the Holy Spirit living within us. So I just want to say that to encourage your brothers out there, no matter what anybody's going through or anybody you know who's going through, reach out and encourage them, you know. When we know somebody's going through some stuff, I mean, give them a call, text them something to just encourage them along the way. I mean, to whatever. Because you never know how a word from us can encourage somebody just to hang on where they was about to give up. Back to you, sir.
Yeah, I definitely understand the fear, you know, just unknown situations. places where you felt like, you know, you were good, and then something happened, and it's like, oh, my goodness. But I'm blessed in my situation. Real short, quick testimony and short story, just to, you know, transparency. A year ago, November the 10th of last year, I was in a car accident coming home from working. I was working for myself. I had left a job with Social Security Administration. I was a supervisor there on their armed guard force, making a good amount of money, you know, good job, comfortable. But things started going a little, you know, just started getting a little hectic. So I decided to take a leap of faith. I was going to open my own company, go into home improvement, something I was comfortable with, I knew. So I jumped out, and God just, it seemed like, you know, when I hit the ground running, everything was just lining up. The business was moving. Even with COVID, my brother and I were working together. We, you know, had some out-of-town work, some work in town. Prior to that date, you know, health had changed around. You know, a lot of people know, some online know I've had numerous health issues. In any case, this one particular day, I'm on the way home. Things have been looking good. We were coming home from a job. Felt a little off, got halfway home, dropped my brother off, got almost a block away from the house, and I woke up. When I woke up, I woke up in the midst of impact with two cars parked. From there, I went from having been working every day to owning my own business to not at all working. Didn't know when I would be going back to work, didn't know what I was going to do. Situations had changed, you know, depending upon things lining up. My wife and I just moved into another house, just bought a new car. Things were just like, this cannot be what's happening now. And I got really down, really dealt with issues. I lost my peace. I just struggled. But somewhere along the line, I began to realize God taking me through, because every day where I thought things couldn't get any worse and I didn't know how I would make it, I woke up the next day and realized, hey, I made it through, and it was only by the grace of God. Whether the bill that wasn't supposed to get paid was paid, or the food that we didn't think we would afford to put in the refrigerator was on our plate, everything that we needed, every bit of sustenance that we needed was there. My wife was working still, you know, income was coming in, but to go from two incomes that were still not making everything that we needed, it was still a struggle to try to find extra income. But then to be in a place that God said, just be able, in that place of peace, to be able to trust God, that God, I know you got it. Even when things looked crazy, I still could say, God, I know you got it. This situation doesn't feel good. It's so uncomfortable. It doesn't match up to where I thought I would be. But God, you are the peace that passes all understanding. To this week, I just completed my first week working for Microsoft, working from home. I just graduated a month ago from an ITSA program that I never thought I would do computers, but I graduated with honors. I've got some of my certifications done. But it all came about simply because I was in a place to say, God, I know you have to have it, because I don't have anything else to depend on. I don't know anything else. God, you are my peace, because without you, I don't see how I can even look my wife in the face. I don't see how I can walk outside. I don't see how I'm going to be able to get up and keep moving, because this situation is tearing me down. It's making me feel less than a man. But the peace of God in the midst of all that, pushing me beyond that place and allowed me to stand strong, to see that God was just preparing me for more blessings, and the blessings will never stop. The blessings will continue as long as I put him first, as long as I strive to serve God, as long as God is my anchor. It doesn't matter what comes about. It doesn't matter what the situation is. I can lean on God. It might be uncomfortable. It might hurt. But I don't have to stand and try to hold the brunt of the situation myself. I know I can lean upon God because he is my peace. Just wanted to share that, my brother. I don't know
amen,
who that
amen,
was.
Amen.
But
I'm still here. Amen, bro. Because you know, I pray that they encourage somebody, because we cannot as men of God, we can't give up. We cannot give up, and our peace is. And I think if we find our peace and we stay anchored in God, we can continue to press on and keep moving forward. Because if we be honest, gentlemen, did any of us realize that where we would be 10 years ago, that we'd be where we are now? So why can't we believe God for where we're going to be 10 years from now? We don't know, but we know if we follow Him, He's looking out for us and our family, and what God, how is He going to use us? Because again, we 10 years ago, I couldn't see myself where I'm at right now. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, from the 80s, 90s, to figure 2021, we couldn't think that far ahead. So no matter where you are in life, in natural numbers, 30s, 40s, 20s, whatever, you don't know what God's going to do. But I do know, I can say this, if we live a life faithful to Him, we seek in His peace, we seek in His guidance and wisdom, and the things that God is saying in His Word. Because His Word, is the funny part about it is, the Word of God hasn't changed, even though we have changed in the last 10 years, 20 years, 5 years. The Word of God is still there. So the Word of God is our anchor. The Word of God is where we're going to find our peace, and the Word of God is going to give us our direction and guidance moving forward from here. So I just want to encourage you, because that's the common denominator for me. The Word of God is still there, because the Word that we're reading today, that Word was the same Word that was there 20 years ago, even if we weren't reading it, living it, or studying it, or trying to obey it. It was still there. We just came to our senses. Amen? Amen, brother. Amen. Where are we going? Where are we at? Day number... keep moving. Amen. Where are we at? Day number four. What you got?
Day number four. Oh, wow. Day number four, man, there was a lot of scriptures for this one. There was a couple more. And this one talked about 5 essential beliefs for a peaceful heart.
Amen. You can jump in, but this is who we are in Christ and who God is. This goes back to our foundation. Because I think if we have a firm foundation of who God is and what His Word says He is, I think that helps us to understand and rely on Him, because the Word of God, this is what the Word of God teaches us, who He is and who He should be in our life. You know what I mean? So when we talk about these beliefs, we had the other devotion about the pillars, but knowing God and knowing what we believe and why we believe it, is the foundation for all of us, for our faith. We have to read the Word of God and know and believe that it is true. And then our faith can be built on it, and we can trust it. And once we trust it, we have peace with it. Well, go ahead, brother.
I'm reading these 5 beliefs, and I keep going up and down the screen. And I'm literally looking at the prayer of salvation. These are literally the confessions of the prayer of salvation. Number one, God is absolutely sovereign. In our salvation, believe God is our creator. God's name is above every name. There's nothing too big for God to handle. You believe that, like, there's no fight you can go into that he's not going to win. There's no fight. Like, I'm not saying this on a bullying type thing, but do you know how confident you feel when you know the biggest guy at the school has got your back?
Amen. That's right. There you go.
When nobody neighborhood messes with your big brother, do you know how confident you feel when you walk around? You walk around like, man, I wish you would. You know who my brother is? That's how
there
we should be walking around our situation. Man, I wish you would. Do you know how big my God is?
Yes, sir.
God is out. Belief two, God is your provider. He says it best right here. From cover to cover, the Bible has no clear message, no clear message that God provides. Sorry about that. I had a little issue with my phone there going on. Those that seek, Psalms 34 and 10, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Seek him and he will provide. Ask and you shall receive. There's a million scriptures that you can say, quotes that you can say. Forgive me because I don't want anything to sound cliche. But God provides, plain and simple. Provision, everything about our provisions is a part of his promise. The promise of prosperity is a promise of provision. Belief three. This should just help a lot of people to just be able to stand. You know, a lot of us, our lack of peace is because we're not comfortable in our own skin. God made you the way you are for a purpose. Do you realize, and I just want to just express this to you as in this last few minutes. We're not going to make it all the way through, I don't think, deep, but I just want to express this real quick, and I'm going to hand it back to you. Do you realize that the way you look could be the very thing that will help you to reach one soul, and that one soul could be the one person who leads a church in 20 years from now that will change the life of your grandchild? Think about that. God made you the way you are for a purpose. Just the way you look can change the life of somebody else. God intended for you to walk the way you do, to sound the way you do, to talk the way you do. You were created specifically for a purpose. So everything about you, whether you're short, tall, skinny, wide, whatever terminology you want to use, whoever you are, whatever makes you up, God set that and made you unique because something unique about you would change or help someone else. It's a place to stand in peace. God, I don't like the way I look, but God loves the way you look, and he made you the way you look to help somebody else because the way you look can be what tears down a wall that would have stopped someone else from believing God is truly who he is. I'm going to leave it at that and turn it over to you, sir. We got a lot more to carry on.
Amen, amen. Well, brothers, first of all, I appreciate all those who called in and on the line. And again, we doing the devotionals. We have, what do we got? We got 3 more days for this one, and Elder Marco sends out a new one for next week. Next Thursday at 8 o'clock, we're going to be back on the line. We'll switch back to Zoom. We're getting together next week. It could be Zoom or it could be on the phone call. We'll figure that out when we get there. But we're getting together next Thursday. I encourage you to come out, be part of it, and participate. We have the text line. We're in a group text. You need prayer for anything, text, put it out there, text. We're going to send the link. You can listen to this program again. And I encourage you to share it with another brother that you might be reaching out to, another brother you might be wanting to minister the gospel to, another brother who may be interested in being part of the devotional, and something that was said tonight might encourage them to be part of the group. Amen? So, again, I thank you for joining, being part of it. Elder Mark, I thank God for you, the passion, the vision you had to put this together. And I'm just want to be a vessel to help and connect with the brothers. Again, all the brothers on the line. Save the number you called in for. Save it in your contacts. It's Issues Christian Men's Talk. And again, Elder Mark, me and Elder Mark are doing Saturday mornings at 9. This Saturday we're not going to be on because that's why we went and recorded this. So we could have this episode already recorded, and I'm going to be posting it on the Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. And again, I'll be texting the link out to everybody. You have it in your phone. You can listen to it again. Brothers, be encouraged, man. Just be encouraged. One of the things we have to do as men of God is to stay focused, stay on the track, stay in God's will, abide in him and show the love of Christ wherever we are, in our families, in our church, and in our communities. So I just want to encourage you there. Elder Mark, anything you want to share? You can close us out in prayer. And, Brother Will, we'll be in touch, and just stay encouraged, man. And congratulations on your certificate, honor roll, and your new position.
Thank you. Thank you. To God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. To all the men on the line, I just give honor to you all. I thank you for taking the time to join. Pray that as we go forth, you'll continue to be drawn in and desire more to communicate, to share with us. We definitely want to hear from you so we can talk about, you know, issues that you want to talk about. This is Issues Christian Men Talk. It's not Deacon Farr and Elder Mark, so please join us. Please speak with us, share with us. We definitely want to encourage, because you are an encouragement to us as well. We are striving to grow and pray that you are growing with us. None of us have it all online. We're all working to get to the place that God would have us, so we can be in the place to receive the blessings that he already has in store for us. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord. We just thank you for another opportunity to join before you, Lord God, to get into the root, Lord God, to things, Lord God, that can drive us as men, Lord God, to draw closer unto you, O God. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for just revelation, Lord God, revelation on the very things that we discussed, Lord God, that as we continue, Lord God, to go into these devotionals, Lord God, we'll get insight, Lord God, on what will change our lives for the better, Lord God, what will take us to a place to receive you, Lord God, to stand as the men that you called us to be, Lord God, fulfilling the purpose upon our lives, Lord God, to be the soldiers in the front line, to be the role models, to be the husbands, fathers, sons, brothers that you called us to be, O God. We thank you for each and every opportunity that we have to encounter you, O God. And thank you, Father, because as two or more join you, Lord God, your word says that you are in the midst. So we thank you that we can share with you our praises to you, Lord God. We thank you for our opportunity, Lord God, to repent before you, to ask of you, Lord God. And we thank you, Father God, that we are learning to yield to you, O God, that we yield, Lord God, to hear your direction as we move forward for another day to give you praise and honor and glory, as we pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, and we cry all the time. Yes, we cry all the time.